listen. The Fraser's Brain Theater of the Ear presents another tale of the strange and uncanny. So sit back, relax, and listen as we present our tale of The April Fool. Everything is ready. The candles are lit, the circle drawn. My preparations are complete. Now, finally, I can finish what was started that day so long ago. Has it only been 6 months? April 1st, 1961. I remember it smelled like rain and the dark clouds warned of a big storm approaching. But so far there hadn't been a drop as I hurried into the headquarters building of the 27th SRG, the Warlocks, and reported to the commander. You wanted to see me, sir?
At ease, Sergeant Sims. I expected you 10 minutes ago.
Sorry, sir. Colleen was a little slow with the eggs this morning. We weren't expecting a call on a Saturday.
None of us were. When's your next summoning scheduled?
Friday, sir.
Well, you'll need to move it up. We've got 3 divisions landing in South Vietnam as we speak. We are now officially at war with the North Vietnamese, which means this office is going into 24-hour ops in support of the offensive.
Okay, sir, Did you say we're at war?
April Fool.
What? Really? It's just a joke?
You should have seen your face. That was perfect, sir.
Tower? You were in on this too?
Hell, it was Sergeant Tower's idea. But don't breathe easy just yet. We do have an assignment that's going to require some long hours for the next couple of weeks.
But I thought our funding was secure for another 2 years at least.
Oh, this isn't a dog and pony show. This is a live op.
A live op? Just what do they expect us to do?
Whatever we can. For now, do your maintenance and get with the S4 to make sure your consumables are fully stocked. I want you working the cards with Tower this afternoon and summoning tonight. You'll know more when I do.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and one more thing. You may want to research Santeria and Palo Mayombe.
Santeria? Why would I... Haiti? Puerto Rico?
I'm not going to play guessing games with you, Sergeant. Get to work. And see if you can do something about this weather while you're at it.
So, I got to work. I called Colleen and told her I'd be working all evening, then wasted some time reading cards with Sergeant Tower. Then I hit the base commissary to buy some groceries for supper.
Excuse me, sir, but your shoe is untied.
What?
April Fool.
For crying out... You're the second person who's pulled that trick on me today.
Well, it is April Fool's Day.
Yeah, but you'd think we'd have outgrown it by now. And for the record, I'm a sergeant, not a sir.
How old are your kids, Sergeant?
Who said I have kids?
Wonder Bread and Peanut Butter?
Oh, that's actually for me. No frills supper tonight.
Oh, that's awful. Listen, I know this is awfully forward, but why don't you let me fix you a proper meal? I get off work in an hour.
No, I can't. I'm, working.
That's terrible. And on a Saturday night, too.
I know. I'm missing Bonanza.
78 cents?
Here you go.
I'll tell you what. Here's my address. If you change your mind, come by and see me.
Okay, I'm sorry, but I can't. I'm married.
I know. I'm Barbara.
I went back to headquarters, even though I knew it was pointless. After 2 years of trying to summon a demon, the closest I'd ever gotten to success was 2 random whispers and a blown-out candle. Still, I drew the magic circle, wrote out the symbols using the Army's approved simplified theurgic symbol set, lit the candles and the sandalwood incense, and donned my robes. But I couldn't really concentrate on what I was doing. As I waved my sword and scepter, chanting the standard invocation, all I could think about was her. Barbara, and my nerves fluttered with the same combination of fear and excitement that I hadn't felt since I'd first started dating my wife. I spoke the invocation quickly, confidently, thinking of how Barbara had smiled as she handed me her phone number. You feel powerful when a woman looks at you like that, like you can do anything. Then, suddenly, the candles flared and a shadow moved in the far corner of the room. Who's there?
You called me here, shouldn't you know?
Couldn't believe it. I'd never really believed in the supernatural, so the 2 years of failure hadn't bothered me, but I never stopped to consider what I'd do if the summoning actually worked.
Welcome, Elagos, almost noble duke, by that same power by the which I called thee forth, I bind thee—
Do we really need to say all that nonsense? I suppose next you'll want me to enter the triangle.
Yes, if you please. There was a long pause, and then the shadow in the corner seemed to stretch toward me. A man-sized lump formed at the tip like a drop of water on the end of a black icicle and separated itself. As it entered the circle of candlelight, it showed itself to be a stout man wearing the dress blue uniform of a United States Marine.
Okay, you guys got me. Ha ha, April Fool.
You don't believe I am who I say I am, do you? Do I need to show you my true face?
You're real? I thought you were supposed to appear as a knight in armor.
I appear as a warrior appropriate to the age. Now, are you gonna bind me, or can we just dispense with all of that?
Why would we dispense with it?
Because I'm cooperating. Go on, ask me why.
Why?
Because you amuse me. I should probably be angry with you for wasting my time, calling me here without a reason, just to see if you could. It's disrespectful, really. But I don't mind, because it's funny this time. You really have no idea what's coming, do you?
What do you mean? I charged thee by
the— Please! That ship has sailed. I will tell you this, just so I'm not totally wasting my time. Tell your masters that their enemy's eyes in the sky are about to be joined by a nose and a mouth. Oh, and next time, complete the binding before you ask me any questions, otherwise, how will you know if I'm lying? And order me to show my true form, so you can be sure whom you're dealing with. Good night.
I haven't released you yet.
You never bound me, idiot.
And just like that, he was gone. I took off my mitre and wiped the sweat from my brow. I needed a drink, and I knew just who I wanted to have that drink with. The address on the cash register tape led to a small bungalow on the edge of town, a ramshackle wooden dome that for some reason didn't even have a front door facing the street. I was starting to circle around the back when—
Hey, Sergeant Peanut Butter.
I saw her there in the shadows, leaning out the window. She was wearing a lace nightie that wouldn't have left much to the imagination if the shadows weren't so deep. Light reflected off her blonde hair and the twin globes of her breasts, but the rest of her was lost in the darkness.
What are you doing here at this hour?
I just had this incredible breakthrough at work, and I wanted to celebrate. You want to get a drink with me?
What about your wife?
She and the kids are resting up for church in the morning, and this is not the kind of success she'd celebrate, trust me.
What kind of success is it?
Do you want the drink or not?
Give me 5 minutes.
It was a stupid, reckless thing to do, but we ended up going to this little lounge not far from where she lived. I wondered how many of the couples speaking quietly in intimate booths around the room were like me, married to someone else, sneaking away for a stolen moment with someone new. But I was nothing like them.
So, what do you do, Sergeant?
Call me Dan. And it's kind of a secret, actually.
So, you're a spy or something?
Or something. I can't really talk about it.
You might as well tell me now.
Why?
Because we both know you will eventually. You'll either want to impress me into going to bed with you, or else you'll fall in love with me and not want to keep secrets, or else you'll be afraid of losing me.
You really think you've got it all figured out, do you?
So don't tell me. But we both know you're busting to tell someone, and I'm in the mood to be impressed.
Why not? You won't believe me anyway.
Try me.
Well, you know that we're in a research war with the Soviets.
You mean a cold war.
I mean a research war. We're both in a race to develop better technologies to give us an advantage when the shooting starts.
Like atom bombs, you mean?
Like everything. Bombs, planes, radios, computers, even food canning. But the thing is, we found out a couple of years ago that the Russians were even looking into crazy stuff like psychic research, mind reading, fortune telling, perpetual motion, anti-gravity.
No way.
Seriously. The problem is that even if you're tempted to just let them waste their money, what if they find something that works? What if they do figure out how to read minds? We can't afford a mind reading gap.
Get out of here. You're a mind reader? What am I thinking right now?
That's just an example. The point is, we have to research whatever they are and more just to make sure they don't get ahead.
So what are you researching?
Magic.
You're getting back at me for that April Fool thing, aren't you?
I said you wouldn't believe it.
So why haven't I heard about any of this before?
Well, it's top secret. To tell you the truth, I think they're a little embarrassed to be wasting money on this stuff. And I don't think they ever expected it to succeed. I know I didn't.
Wait, you're researching magic, but you don't believe in it? How did you even get this job?
I have a clearance. And I have really good penmanship.
Penmanship?
Well, you have to write things just so.
So instead of pulling a rabbit out of a hat, you pull out bombs?
No. Actually, I summon demons. And tonight, I got one.
Wait, you're serious?
Has a heart attack.
So what do? You ask him to kill them all in their sleep or something?
It doesn't have to be that dramatic. If magic can only make a 5% difference, that's a battle won. A few mechanical failures here, some food poisoning there, or just heighten their fear so they panic and run more easily. Every little edge counts.
So what did this demon look like? Did he have horns and a pitchfork?
He looked like a marine.
What?
He was making fun of me, I think. He said he appears as a warrior appropriate to the times. I'm in the army, so he dressed as a marine to get my goat.
And you're sure it wasn't just one of your buddies playing a prank?
Pretty sure.
You know, you were right. I don't believe you. So let me ask you this. Have you had enough to start feeling guilty yet?
Guilty? About what?
About coming home with me, silly boy.
I drove home afterwards feeling half ecstatic, half guilty as hell. I climbed into bed next to my wife, and when I finally woke up, she and the kids had already been to church and back. Colleen spent the day staring daggers at me, but even though I knew I deserved it, the awful thing was, I felt good. The good feeling stopped the next morning when Captain Lewis gave us our op order.
Come in, Sergeant. You're late again.
Sorry, sir, but it was a busy weekend, and I had a breakthrough.
Success?
Limited success, sir. I got him summoned, but not bound.
Really? Don't bullshit me, Sergeant, because this is a serious, honest-to-God op, and if you say you can deliver, you better deliver.
Well, I can't guarantee anything until I repeat it, sir, and get it dialed in.
Well, you better hurry up and do it, then. We've been tasked with providing covert support to an invasion of Cuba by Cuban nationals. The 27th Special Research Group is to act as a force multiplier, giving aid to friendly forces while hindering enemy countermeasures. The attack launches in 2 weeks, so you've got until then to get this thing working reliably. Can you do it?
I'll try, sir. But are you sure this isn't another April Fool's gag?
Today's the 3rd, Sergeant. Time for fools has passed.
It was easy for him to say. He didn't have to go into that room night after night, draw the same symbols on the floor, light the candles, and recite the same nonsense that hadn't worked for over 2 years. After a week, I started to doubt that I'd ever succeeded at all. And with every failure, the pressure from Captain Lewis grew. The only consolation was Barbara. Her lovely eyes looking into mine when I arrived at her apartment after another failed summoning, still smelling of incense. Her sighs of pleasure as we made love night after night before I headed home to Colleen and the kids. And then, 2 days before the operation was to commence...
Well, they've done it. The Russians have put a man into space.
What?
His name is Yuri Gagarin. They're calling him a cosmonaut.
So that's what he meant.
Who?
Eligos. He said that the Russians' eyes in the sky would be joined by a nose and a mouth. I thought he meant some kind of electronic equipment, like a transmitter or a spectrometer or something, but he could have just meant this guy's face.
No, riddles like that are no good. You can't trust them. The important thing is the Russians have beaten us into space. It's just a matter of time before they start putting atomic warheads up there. We've got to have something to counter that advantage, Sergeants, and I mean right now.
Man, Tower, I've never seen the captain so wrapped around the axle. Are they really expecting concrete results out of this? Are they that desperate?
Who knows? Next card. The Hierophant.
Who do we think that is? Castro?
Don't think so. The Hierophant's a spiritual figure. Castro's a communist, which means he's an atheist. Could be Kennedy, at least he's Catholic.
Yeah, it doesn't look good for whoever it is. Next card.
Huh.
What?
You know who that looks like? You. In your summoning getup.
Maybe a little.
Next card. The Lovers. How are things with you and Colleen?
That's what you're getting out of this card? Come on, you know the Lovers doesn't mean two actual people.
Yeah, I also know the cards stimulate impressions within the reader, so I'm asking, how are things between you and Colleen?
They're fine.
Been working a lot of long hours lately.
We all have. Next card.
Nothing else you want to tell me?
Like what? This isn't about me. Next card.
The Fool.
Finally, it was the night before the operation was to go live. After another failed summoning ritual, I was at Barbara's. Oh, I have to go.
Do you have to? Can't you tell your wife you had to work all night?
No, she might talk to someone in the unit, and they'd certainly correct her if she mentioned me pulling an all-nighter.
Then maybe you should pull an all-nighter. You could sneak me onto the base and light your candles, and then we could do it on the floor inside your magic circle.
Not a good idea. Although it couldn't be any less useful than anything else I've tried.
Still no luck?
No. And there's some bigwig coming in to observe things tomorrow night. It's gonna be a disaster.
Don't be like that. You just need confidence. You know what I do when I'm feeling nervous? I say the words my grandmother taught me.
She whispered four words into my ear. Four words in a language I didn't recognize. What is that, Russian?
Polish. It means, stand beside me in my moment of need, or something like that.
Who are you asking to stand beside you?
I don't know. Guardian angel or something. But I say that to myself, and it makes me feel better to think I'm not alone.
It does get awful lonely in that circle. What were those words again?
Let me teach them to you in a way you'll remember.
So she did. Of course, I'd never actually used the words. I just loved the method she'd chosen to teach them. I didn't even care that I was an hour later getting home than I'd intended, because she was that good a teacher. I regretted it the next day, though. Spent the entire day yawning and fuzzy-headed from the lost hour of sleep. But when the evening came, I was wide awake.
Right this way, General. We've prepared seats for you and your aide right here.
I don't want to sit way up here. We'll sit back against the wall, closer to the door.
Sir,
something to say, Sergeant?
The chairs need to stay inside the circles for protection from whatever comes.
Well, given what I've heard about your success rate, I feel fairly confident taking my chances.
Yes, sir.
The heat's really on, Dan. They might not have cared if you hadn't gone and said you'd had a breakthrough, but now they're expecting a result. If you don't deliver one tonight, General Oakley there might recommend shutting down the entire program. I need a home run from you tonight. You know, make it look impressive, at least.
I'll do my best, sir. So, I lit the candles and performed the first conjuration, my voice echoing in the old wooden barracks building. Having an audience made me keenly aware of how silly I looked in my robes and mitre and breastplate, waving a dagger and scepter while standing on a chalk drawing on the floor. What had I wasted the last 2 years of my life on? I could have been in the infantry, doing something useful. I mean, there was always the risk of getting shot, or worse, if we went to war with Russia, but at least it was real. I performed the second conjuration, sweating in my heavy robes. Of course, after tonight, I'd probably end up in the infantry whether I wanted to or not. I'd have to ship off to another base, let Brute Colleen and the kids again, leave Barbara. The thought of Barbara actually made me feel a little bit better. Thinking about last night, I whispered the four words she'd taught me so entertainingly, "Stand beside me in my moment of need." And then I tossed off the third and final conjuration casually. Maybe it was better this way. Colleen hadn't found out about Barbara yet, and if we moved away, she never would. It would be a relief to get out now, while my memories of Barbara were still good ones. I barely paused before starting the invocation of the king, just wanting to get it all over with now, when suddenly the candles flared and the floor groaned beneath my feet, and...
Are we better prepared this time?
The demon stepped out into the light of the candles, looking the same as before in his marine dress blues. I had done it! The summoning had actually worked! Welcome, Elagos, almost noble duke! By that same power, by the...
What the hell are you people trying to pull here?
By the same power by the which I summoned...
Shut up, Sergeant! That's an order!
You guys are more incompetent than I thought.
Shut up there, you!
Make me.
Captain Lewis, I want that soldier identified and brought up on charges of insubordination. Sims 2, I don't know who told you it'd be a good idea to pull a practical joke on a general, but they steered you wrong. Come on, Major, we're done here.
Do you want to know who I am, General?
Damn right I do.
Then let me show you my true face.
The candles flared, and then the man in dress blues was gone. And in his place was something else.
Oh my God, what is that thing?
It looked something like a lion, and something like a crocodile, and something like a creature straight out of a nightmare. It opened its fanged mouth and roared. And then a gout of flame shot toward me. I hit the deck, careful not to cross out of the protective circle, and I didn't feel a lick of heat. The general wasn't so lucky.
General! Call an ambulance!
I'd like to meet a couple of my friends. They're visiting all the way from Cuba, so be good hosts.
No! No! Those eyes! Those burning eyes!
I looked back. The general lay still on the floor, his aide nowhere to be seen, while Captain Lewis clutched at his eyes and screamed. He stumbled into one of the candelabras and knocked it over. The old dry wood of the barracks caught fire instantly, flames spreading across the floor. I wanted to run, but I didn't dare leave the circle because Elagos had been joined by two other figures I could barely see. One was shaped vaguely like a huge bear, and the other looked like a black woman with twisted dreadlocks that writhed like snakes.
Tell your people that Cuba will never be theirs. If they come, only death awaits them.
You people are idiots. Don't bother me.
And then the shadows lifted and they were gone. Captain Lewis lay face down on the floor, blood pooling around his head where he had scratched out his own eyes. The flames were growing higher, and I tore off my stifling robes as I ran for the door into the cool dark night. It took a couple of months to get the mess completely sorted out. The general's aide, who had fled the building the moment the general fell, accused me of killing both the general and Captain Lewis. Somewhere in there, as I tried to explain my innocence, I ended up telling them about Barbara and the charm she'd taught me. Turned out it was Russian, not Polish, as she'd said. Investigators who went to question her found only an empty lot where her home used to be. Terrified neighbors told ridiculous stories about the hut appearing out of nowhere one night and disappearing just as suddenly weeks later. One neighbor even claimed she had seen the house stand up on skinny legs and walk away under the cover of darkness. The landing at the Bay of Pigs in Cuba turned into a disaster, just as Elagos and his friends had said, which didn't help my defense at all. The 27th Special Research Group was disbanded, and now here I am, months later, with a dishonorable discharge fighting for space in my pocket with a divorce decree. But now, finally, the candles are lit, the magic circle drawn. I'm wearing the new vestments I've assembled, shabbier than the old ones, but serviceable. But this time, instead of going through all the mumbo-jumbo, I just say Barbara's four words, and he comes to me once more. And finally, I say the words I never managed to say before, binding the spirit to the circle and compelling him to speak the truth.
Show me your true face!
Hello, Danny.
Barbara. So it was you all the time.
Not the first time. You actually got the real Elagos that first night. But after that, I made sure he was too busy to come back.
Why?
You had your orders, I had mine.
So you're a witch?
Let's say I work for one.
And this was just a big setup, a big April Fool's joke, meeting you in the commissary? Us?
My job was to stop you. I did.
And that's all I was to you? A job?
What do you want me to say, Danny? That it started out as a job, but you're such a great guy, I actually fell in love with you? Grow up.
I hope that maybe there was one small good thing I could salvage from all this.
There's not. Except that maybe you've learned a lesson.
What lesson?
America does a lot of things well. So many that you may actually manage to outlast us. But magic? No. You're awful. You've measured and dissected and burned the magic out of your lives. Maybe that's not entirely a bad thing. But if you want to win, you'll stick to what you're good at.
And then she was gone. I hadn't released her, but then, as she said, I was no good at magic. But then it had been so long since I'd done anything else, I couldn't really remember what I was good at. But I promise you this, I'm going to find out.
You have been listening to the Fraser's Brain Theater of the Ear production of The April Fool, written and produced by Tony Fraser. Included in the cast were Paul Badiger, Barbara Ferran, Randy Ferran, and the man who spoke to you was Tony Fraser. Music was by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. The song of The Things We Did Last Summer was written by Sammy Kahn and Jules Stein and performed by Joe Stafford. Thank you for listening, and remember, there's a voice calling to you in the night. Listen. Don't touch that dial. The second half of our special Halloween double feature will be coming up in just a moment, but first, join us at herogohome.com for high adventure and low comedy every Monday through Friday as we present the continuing adventures of Digger in Run, Digger, Run. And while you're here, support the site by checking out the novels page, this month featuring
Death Wave.
Ghosts of all the men I've killed would surely not be placated by hearing that it all happened because my finger accidentally, or maybe not so accidentally, brushed up against a boob. But then again, maybe some of them would understand. It's all right here at herogohome.com. And now...
Dark.
Tonight's episode, Deadly Fortune.
Hello? Oh, hi, Chief. Yes, I was just about to leave. No date. I was actually thinking I'd head out to the Mueller farm and get a couple of quotes from that lady who won the lottery for Sunday's Metro section. Yes, I realize it's Friday night, but... I know I could leave it for tomorrow's crew, but you know how I hate to leave a job unfinished. Yes, I understand. No, I still have not managed to get a date in the 30 seconds since you asked me last time. Okay. I won't go. You're right. It can wait. I didn't realize just how far out in the country this place is. What am I doing here? I told the chief I wouldn't come, but... I just hate to leave something like that hanging over my head all weekend. Here's the door. I'll just get a couple of generic quotes. Yes, I'm so excited. I never thought I'd win. I plan to take a vacation to Washington, D.C. and buy a new fur coat. I could have saved the trip and just written the quotes in the office. They'd have never noticed the difference. Or done it over the phone. There's a concept. Oh, someone's coming.
Yes, yes, what is it?
Mr. Mueller, my name is Margaret Lawson. I write for the Chronicle. Is now a bad time?
Well, I was just... Do you know anything about meatloaf?
What?
Sorry, come in, come in. We can talk more comfortably inside. If you'll just follow me back to the kitchen.
Sorry to bother you on a Friday night like this. I actually told my editor I wasn't coming out here, but I don't like to leave things unfinished. If I hadn't come, I wouldn't have been able to sleep tonight.
Come to talk about the lottery, I expect.
Yes. Is Mrs. Mueller here?
What, Emma? No, she's out celebrating with friends.
And you're not celebrating with her?
Well, I'm a farmer, Miss Lawson, was it? I get up at 4 in the morning, rain or shine. Chores don't stop needing to be done just because you win some drawing. But that's why I'm fixing my own supper here. I don't really know how to make meatloaf.
Then why don't you fix something you know how to make?
Because it's Friday, Miss Lawson. Friday night is meatloaf night.
Is it really that important?
Important? It's crucial. If you were to ask my wife about how she won that money, she probably would have said something about having a lucky feeling or having prayed about it so hard that God had to hear her pleas. I don't believe in things like that. But there's an old saying, fortune favors the prepared. I prefer to rephrase it, fortune favors the organized. I run this farm by myself, Miss Lawson, and the only way I'm able to get everything done that I need to get done is to have a system. Take these knives. I hope you don't think me pompous when I tell you that these knives are a perfect illustration of the way things should work. This block has a special place for each knife, and each knife is clean, sharp, and in its proper place. And the block is at the perfect spot on the counter so that when I need to chop onions for my meatloaf, I don't have to go hunting for a knife, I don't even have to look, I just reach out my hand and it's there. See? Easy. Now I can chop my onions without wasting any time or effort. And when I'm done, I clean the knife and put it back in the block. Now that's not so hard, is it? You can understand what I'm saying, and you're no genius, are you, Miss Lawson?
No, I'm no genius.
Of course you're not. But my wife Emma can't seem to grasp the concept. If you use a knife, put it back in its proper place when you're done with it. Same with a toothbrush or a towel. Your husband goes to all the trouble of giving you a nice box to keep your recipes in. You should keep your recipes in it, instead of leaving them strewn all over the house so that your husband can't even find a recipe for meatloaf on meatloaf night. It's not that hard, is it? It doesn't take a genius, does it? Women, you think you're all so smart.
You don't like smart women?
I don't mind if a woman is actually smart, unlikely as that may be. What I can't stand are women who think they're smarter than they are. Women who think they can hide things from you, who think they can keep things secret, and you'll never find out, because you're just a dumb old farmer who... Why, sometimes I could just...
Just what, Mr. Mueller?
Nothing. I'm sorry. I'm afraid I get a little cranky if I don't get supper on time. I'm a little set in my ways. I will tell Emma you came by. She'll be sorry she missed you.
That's okay. Sorry to have bothered you.
Oh, it's no bother. Just sorry you wasted a trip out here on a Friday night. Surely you have a young gentleman waiting somewhere to escort you out.
Boy, have you got the wrong girl. I haven't had a date in... What a nice case. Are you going somewhere?
No, that's actually the money. Emma got it in cash.
Cash? Planning to live it up, eh? But what's it doing by the door? What happened to a place for everything and everything in its place? Fortune favors the organized.
Well, we'll be going on a vacation to celebrate, so why put the money away just to drag it back out again? Leaving tomorrow, in fact, so your co-workers probably shouldn't bother to call. You said your editor doesn't know you're here.
No. But wait, leaving tomorrow? What about the chores you said you had to do? And what's that on the stairs? Those footprints? Is that blood? No! Ugh, what hit me?
Oh, that would have been the vase, Miss Lawson. The vase from the table in our entry hall.
What?
The vase.
fortune favors the organized. I needed something to hit you with, and there was the vase in its proper spot on the table. I didn't even need to look, just reached out my hand, and there it was.
Oh, why is it so dark? What's that awful smell?
All cellars are musty, dear. But that thing you smell, that's quicklime. It covers up the scent of the blood.
Quicklime? Blood? What are you talking about?
Let me just get the lights, shall I? It's a mess, I know. You have no idea how close you came to getting away and living in peaceful ignorance.
Is that your wife?
Yes, I'm afraid so. You came at just the right time. Cutting her body into pieces was exhausting, so I decided to clean up and fix a little supper before coming back down to bury her here in the basement with the lime.
But I don't understand. Why would
you... She was going to leave. I overheard her on the phone saying that the marriage was smothering her and that the money would allow her to get away and live, really live, for the first time. She thought I would be out in the fields until dark, but I noticed she was acting strangely, so I came back early. And I had been planning something like this for a long time. Not intending to do it, really, just thinking of ways to do it and get away with it. As a release, you know. I mean, she may not have been happy with my ways, but living with her was taking its toll on me, too. And here she was, planning to leave me with nothing except a lifetime of chores. But you see, Miss Lawson, fortune favors the organized. Her plan to get away was as random and sloppy as everything else she did. As for me, the axe was right where it always is, hanging on its hook in the shed out back, just to the right of the door. I didn't even have to look, just reached out my hand, and there it was. I hit her, I dragged her down here in that tarpaulin, and I chopped her body into pieces. And after I've had my supper, I'm going to do the same to you.
No, please, just let me go. I promise I won't tell anyone. I promise I won't.
No, it's no good, you see.
No,
you're a good girl, Miss Lawson. You have a conscience.
Please.
You couldn't sleep knowing you'd left this story of yours unfinished. And you couldn't live with yourself knowing you'd let a murder go unreported, let alone unpunished. And you see, fortune favors the organized once more. No one knows you're here, so I don't have to change my plans at all. I bury my wife and leave with the cash. We rarely get visitors, and if someone does drop by, they'll assume we're just taking a vacation with our winnings. It could be months before anyone realizes we're actually missing, and by then I'll be well established in Monte Carlo or someplace. And the lime should have done its work. With luck, they'll never even find the body. Having you here changes none of that. It's just a few more pieces to throw into the hole, is all.
No, please. You don't have to do this. You don't have to kill me. You don't have to kill me. Good God.
Margaret, there's no need for that. See, I'm being generous. I'm giving you 30 more minutes to live. You don't want to spend them crying yourself into a headache, do you? Don't bother trying to get out. This door is the only exit, and there's nothing in there you can use as a weapon or a tool.
No.
See you soon.
No. No, don't leave me. Don't leave me down here with... the body. Oh, my God. What am I going to do? Surely someone will come looking for me tomorrow or the next day when they realize I'm missing. But that won't do me any good. I'll be dead by then. Gotta get out. You've got to let me out of here. Let me out! I don't want to die in here! I don't want to die. Gotta find a way out. The door's locked, but that window. Mueller's too big to fit through it, but I might be able to squeeze through. If I could just reach. It's painted shut. Gotta find something to break the glass. But there's nothing down here. Nothing but...
What was that? Sounded like it came from... downstairs. Oh my... She got out. How did she get out? No. She'll bring the police. I don't have time to hide the body. No, wait. It's okay. Fortune favors the organized. I know exactly where my passport is. It'll just take me a minute or two to pack. A few toiletries and a change of clothes are all I need, and everything is right at hand. By the time she gets back with the police, I'll be long gone with $1 million in cash, and good luck finding me! Passport. Right here where I've had it hidden for weeks. Imagine the look on Emma's face if she ever found out that her farmer husband, who rarely wanted to waste time even on a trip to town, had a passport ready for an overseas trip if need be. Now I just need my bag, a pair of pants, a shirt, Maybe I should bring my Sunday suit, too. Might need to start wearing a suit more often now that I'm a rich man. What was that? Someone in the house? She couldn't have come back with the police already. There's definitely someone down there. Well, I can play their game better than they can. Grab my shotgun out of the closet here. It's got to be Miss Lawson. Got to be. Well, let her try something now. This is trespassing. I know my rights. The lights. What the... She shut off the power. Does she think she can scare me? Do you think you can scare me? I'm warning you. I've got a shotgun and I've already killed once tonight. No. Wait. That's what she wants. She wants me to lose my head, try to hunt for her. She's probably already called the police from downstairs. Now all she has to do is keep me chasing her around the house until they arrive. Well, I'm not falling for it. Fortune favors the organized. Passport's in my pocket, here's my bag and my gun. The money's waiting right by the door. I don't need the lights, I know this house like the back of my hand. Out this door, just a few steps to the landing, then down the stairs. It's a clear shot from the stairs to the front door. I just grab the money on my way out and then I'm home. My leg. I think it's broken. Something on the stairs. What was it?
Are you hurt, Mr. Mueller?
Miss Lawson? Shotgun. Where's my shotgun?
Are you looking for this shotgun? You dropped it and I picked it up. You know, it was awfully rude of your wife to stick her foot out and trip you like that.
My wife? Ah! Her leg. Her arms. On the stairs! What did you do, you crazy bitch?
Mr. Mueller, right now I have two unbroken legs and your shotgun, so you'd best moderate your tone.
What are you going to do? Don't kill me. Please don't kill me. I'll do anything you want. I'll make a full confession.
I don't like you much, but I do admire your organization. Although it is possible to be too organized. I mean, it's just meatloaf. Make a sandwich, for Christ's sake.
Don't shoot me. Please don't shoot me.
I'm not going to shoot you. Like I said, I admire your organization. Take this axe, for instance. It was just where you said it would be. I mean, you had just used it to chop your wife into pieces, but there it was. Clean and sharp and back in its proper place, on the hook, just to the right of the shed door. I didn't even have to look. I just reached my hand out, and there it was.
My axe? But I don't understand. I heard your car. I thought you went for the police.
Well, I was going to. But I've been a reporter for several years, Mr. Mueller. I've seen how the system works. And I had no guarantee that you would get what was coming to you. You could plead to a lesser charge and perhaps get out on parole someday. Or you could plead insanity and perhaps never go to prison at all. And that assumes that they would even be able to catch you. You see, the problem was that if I trusted you to the system, I had no assurance that the system would do its job. And though I'm not as organized as you are, Mr. Mueller, I do have one quality I pride myself on. I always finish the job.
No. Wait.
I always finish the job.
Stay back, I said. I'll confess. I already
I always finish the job. I always no finish the job. I always finish.
Here's the writer of tonight's episode, Mr. Tony Fraser. Mr. Fraser, where do you get such gruesome ideas?
Well, everyone has a skeleton in their closet. Mine just talk to me sometimes. Oh, and by the way, if I ever invite you over for dinner, don't have the meatloaf.
You've been listening to a special Halloween presentation from HeroGoHome.com. In the Dark was written and produced by Tony Fraser. Featured in the cast were Tony Fraser and Ailish O'Neill. Music by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. Thank you for listening. And remember, be very afraid of what's in the dark.